We are up to Samach Zayin, which is on page 144, in the middle of a digression to the history of Torah Shebichtav, and he has here his last piece on it, and I don't know how interested you are in the chronology of Jewish history, but that's what you're going to get for the next 15 minutes. Amar HaChaver, V'acharehem. Now he's talking about the post-Churban history of the Messiah. B'dar Acher, after Rabbi Kiva, came Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yaisi, Shemben Azai, Rabbi Chini Ben Tradya, V'chavarehem. Now here is an important point to make. There were, as everybody knows, Asara Harugi Malchus. There were 10 great leaders of Klal Yisrael that were killed by the Romans. The poem which we read on, the piyut, I shouldn't say poem, which we read on Yom Kippur seems to say that they lived in the same generation. The way it's written, the 10 of them gathered and it was demanded from the Romans that they give themselves up. And they said, give us 3 days. And one of them went up to heaven and said, Gzeirahim alafanai, and they accepted the din. Now that's poetic license. It's just simply not true. They didn't live in the same generation. As it says here, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyan was a generation later than Rabbi Kiva. And certainly Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, who lived in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, was way earlier than Rabbi Kiva, who was born way after the Beis HaMikdash. He in the time of Bar Koch, which is 70 years after. So the piyut there is poetic license. It's written in a poetic way. On Tisha B'Av, there's a more accurate rendition, which gives a separate couple of lines on each one of them, rather than to tell all of them. I think that's also an important point to make, is that in general, you can't learn from piyutim. You can't learn, certainly not halacha, but even facts from piyutim, which are sometimes written with poetic license. Only from Eliezer Kalir. Only from Eliezer Kalir, but even that, I don't know if they learn dinim. They bring rayas to dinim, but to learn a new din from the Yitzus, I don't know. Anyway, that's point number one. Now he goes on. Achrei Eila Rebbe. V'hu Rabbeinu HaKadosh, hu Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Then came Rebbe. We have a Kabbalah that the day Rabbi Kiva died, Rebbe was born. So that there were a link in the Messiah. V'imai, Rabbi Nasan, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. Shua ben Karcha, Chazal say, was the son of Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva was bald. So they called his son Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. V'zulasan, B'chairis, right? V'zulasan Rabbim. V'zulasan Rabbim, Bali HaMishnah, Nikram Tanoim. And they were all called Tanoim. V'inachreim, Eloh HaAmayroim. Him Bali Gemara. After them, come the Bali Gemara. Now, to give a historical timeline, I'm not sure everyone agrees with the Kuzari's exact numbers, but he says the following. V'chibe Rebbe HaMishnah, B'shnas Tuf Kof Lamed Lishtaris, Lamin Yishtaris. Now, here I want to explain to you, first of all, the idea of Minyan Shtaris. It's funny that Jews don't know about it, where for 1,000 years, it was standard. Now, we know that when we write a ksuba today, or we date anything in the Jewish way, we date it to creation. So today we say it's the year, 5775 to creation. Now, the custom was, in the time of the Greeks, to have a separate counting, which they called Minyan Shtaris. The reason they called it Minyan Shtaris is because it's not a counting to creation. It's a counting to Minyan Shtaris, which is the a new calculation, which was done as a recognition of the Greeks, the kindness of the initial Greeks to the Jewish people. That the number that was chosen for that year, according to the Kuzari, was the year 3348. Now, I just want to give you a little of an overview of what every Jew really should know about dates. Most of us don't have the head to remember all kinds of dates. But there's one chain of dates that's very easy, relatively easy to remember. Coincidentally, in the Mishmar, we're learning of the Zohar Chesam HaBeis, on Tess, on the next Amud, we're going to have it. It begins by knowing that Avraham Avinu was born in 1948. Now, what makes it easy is the fact that the State of Israel was established in the secular year 1948, which has absolutely nothing to do with the Hebrew year 1948. It just proves that God has a sense of humor, because it's also 1948, it's also 1948, it doesn't mean anything.
There's no correlation,
except it's a good way to remember it. You can't make drushes. But it helps you remember. It's Avram. The Jewish people began with the birth of Avram in 1948. Now, how old was Avram when Yitzchak was born? He was 100 years old. So that the year 2048 was the birth of, so if you remember, Avram was 100 years old, Yitzchak was born, you remember that. The 400 years of Yetzias Mitzrayim started from Yitzchak's birth. Because in Egypt they were only 210 years. So that's easy. You just take 2048 and add 400. You know, they went out of Egypt in 2448. So that makes it a relatively easy jump. Okay, now in the Midbar, I think most people know how long were the Jews in the desert? 40 years. So it's 2488. So you can get to when they enter Israel from Avram's birth, the 540 years, so you get to 2488. The next number you have to remember is that there was 850 years till the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Now that 850 says in the Pasuk, but it's not as well known. Everything else I told you is better known. So then you go from 2488 and you have to add 850 years. And from there, 70 years to the Binyan Bayis Sheni. And from there, 420 years to the Churban Bayis Sheni. So basically, that's the chain. It takes us from Avraham Avinu till the Churban. Now, according to our calculation, basically, I mean, the second Mishnah was built in the year 3308. Okay, now he says, the Kuzari says, Minyashtaris was 40 years later. Okay, so let's get to the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. 40 years later began Minyashtaris. What's important about 40 years? The way he says it is there was Nevuah for the first 40 years of the Bayis Sheni. So Nevuah ended, and the end of an era came 40 years later. And there, that was the year that Minyan Shtaris began, 3348. Perhaps, I don't know. Now, there's a little discrepancy. There are others, I don't know the earliest source.
Supposedly the
Yetzer
Hara of Avodah Zarah ended at the same time.
It's true. The Yetzer Hara had actually passed a little before that, but yeah, it was, around that time. The Yetzer Avodah Zarah was bottled. So that was Minyan Shtaris, and Jews wrote their Shtaris to that. Now we have a custom that we write, in any Ksuba, in any Shtar, we write year such and such. L'minyan Sha'anu Mainin Kan, we write Brooklyn, New York, wherever the wedding is, you're right, it's such and such a year according to the calculation that we count in this place. The reason for that is because obviously there were people that counted differently. There were actually two groups of people that wrote Shtaris differently, but we designate the Brias Ha'olam, Minyan Sha'anu Mekan Brooklyn, New York, because there was a time that they wrote by Minyan Shtaris. And
it's interesting, that was the secular date.
The Minyan Shtaris was a secular date. What I had read earlier is that they chose for Minyan Shtaris exactly 1,000 years after the Binyan Bayis Rishon, which would be 4308, which is actually 100 years off from the Kuzari's Cheshbon. That's just confusing. But the point is that definitely, in a nod to the Yevanim, Klal Yisrael accepted to count the Minyan Shtaris. Now,
the Rambam says from this line, Alexander took over.
Was the year Alexander took over? Yeah, okay, it is. Okay, so we'll stay with that. So now he writes Chibur Rebbe Hamishna Shtas Tuf Kuf Lamed L'Shtaris. Now let's figure this out. Tuf Kuf Lamed means 530 years after Minyan Shtaris. Now the Bayis Sheni was 420 years. Deduct 40 because they started 40, and that's 380. In other words, 380 years was a Bayis Sheni, and he's saying 530, which is another 150 years later, 150 years after the Churban, Rebbe wrote the Mishnayos, which would, since the Churban was in the year 70 of the Common Era, 68 or 70, right? What? That means 150 plus 70 is 220.
Okay, yeah, 218.
218. All right, I'll explain if you want. There are two calculations for one thing at a time. He's saying that this was in the year roughly 220, the 218 or 220, that Rebbe wrote the Mishnayos. Now, that's on the later end of the range of accepted dates. Okay, we don't know the exact date. But according to Kuzari, it was in the year, it was the common era year, 200, roughly 220. That's what he's saying. Vushnas kofnun l'chorben b'yishayni, 150 years after Chorben, achar shemesh meisho shoshim shana lehefsik ha-nevuah. Okay, that's his tracing. So he has traced from Moshe Rabbeinu till the writing of the Mishnayos. This galgal bo kol mashu zacharnu, elamah meharbi midvormu maseyim, v'shtadlu b'mishna kishtadlu sam b'toyra. There is, as medayik, you're writing the Mishnah as, havdol, but in writing the Torah, v'charbim oisa sedura, u'mispa sederel, prakev u'chesea, v'zhirim b'shmua is mashu rochim v'hadash yadav v'muskam alav. Mishnayos doesn't have midrashim, it doesn't have the wild midrashim that the person would find hard to believe. Niskalgva mitzachus loshen ivris. Also, one of the things that Mishnayos did was to further the Hebrew language. And the reason is this. The only words in the Hebrew language we know are in Tanakh, Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. There are words for things that happen not to be mentioned anywhere in Tanakh. Okay, he gives a few examples at the bottom. Let's say the word kidneys for beans. It's not nowhere mentioned in Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Mitzachas HaLoshen Ivris, his clear flow in the Hebrew language, Rashenenu Niskab Loshen Mikra Harbe. He was able to put in things that the word Teva for nature is not mentioned anywhere in Tanakh. There are a handful of such words. Now, there's a Gemara, which maybe you'll remember, the two places in Shas, it says that the Rabbanah didn't know the meaning of a certain word, and they heard Amsa de Rebbe. They heard Rebbe's maidservant speaking, and they caught, oh, that's what the word means. Why Amsa de Rebbe? Because it was Rebbe from who was Nizgalgul, the Tzachos HaLoshen Ivris. Mashenin Nizgab Loshen HaMikra Harbe. Aval Kitzur Divoreha V'yoyfi Chibura. The Mishnayos is beautiful in that it's written B'Kitzur. It's written in a short language. And it's written with beauty, and a beauty in the way it's set up in its order. Somebody who looks truthfully will see. Without God's help, you can't set up the Mishnayos the way the Mishnayos is written. So that the Mishnayos is the outcome of his chain of Messiah. Listen to this lashon, this is somebody who loved to learn. Ein Saina Oisa. There's nobody who would hate Mishnayos, nobody who would dislike learning. Ela Mishena Mavina, unless you don't understand it. V'lai Misasik Limuda Kriyasa, and you're not willing to apply yourself. V'yishra V'devei HaChacham Masichav Zadrashas. V'yigzer Aleihem Derech Mikro B'chisarn. We have this a lot today. There are people who are not properly versed in the hashkafa of Mishnayos, and they treat it like something someone said b'mikro b'chisar. And somebody, they take a Mishnah, and, you know, they say, well, yeah, you know, I would say differently, or without really knowing a whole lot, and disagree. Kashas mi yigzer alad b'chisar mishavaganu b'li mifchad v'ayrech havara. You have somebody who without he just says something off the top of his head. Someone else disagrees with him.
I want to ask you a question. Coming back to the language.
Yes.
So what it means here, does it mean that the language evolved or that it's not fully revealed in the Tanakh when he...
He means that it's not all revealed. He's saying that it was not all revealed and more was revealed. You're saying it's true. The language had to evolve because right. You just had to find words for things that you didn't have. So what you're saying is true. But he's
not speaking about the evolution of the language, he's speaking about the revelation of
the language. The evolution is sometimes humorous. You know, in Hebrew today, for skiing, it's liglosh, it's to ski. And where does that come from? In Shir HaShirim, you have the Ezim Shagol Shomei Hargilad, like the goats that went skiing. It sounds like Dr. Seuss. you know, skiing on Hargila. So they borrowed language. What are you going to do? They had to come up with a word.
Milk
so they came up with a
word.
What?
Milk gushes forth.
Milk gushes forth. Okay.
You know, that
getting back to what he's saying.
That's
what?
An important distinction, because we claim that the Hebrew language has intrinsic meaning.
The Hebrew language has intrinsic meaning. Modern Hebrew is a combination.
The
evolved Lashon is made by man. And therefore, only roughly half the words in modern Hebrew, I mean, certainly the new technical words now, but roughly half the words are accurate. We're not even sure what the correct word for yes is. We're not sure that Cain is the correct word for yes. In Hebrew, they say Cain, right? It might be Hain. The Gemara says, Oimrim al Hain, Hain va lav lav. You say for yes, yes, or for no, no. Cain means so also, the way it's generally used. So it's used, the truth is both are used in Shas.
Hain,
Hain, Benos,
Lodai, Okay. He's speaking correct. Hain means Nachon.
Nachon, correct, okay. So what you're saying is true, but I just want to get back to here. At any rate, he says with a love for Shas, how can anybody not like it? That's what he's saying. Who would not like it unless someone doesn't appreciate it? Umedimyaini smichasan ala nevuah, mashamru, and this is the way they said it. The way things are given over is, for he gives an example. Omer Nochem Halavlar, Nochem describes, said, Mekumbel ani mipi Rebbe Miyasha, Shekibbel Mi'aba, Shekibbel Mi'azugai, Shekibbel Mi'anavim. Hello, Mishnah Mesinai. Now, when you trace it, it goes all back. Umei Hishiram Bikabolos Hayechidim, and you have to be careful, from Midas Yochid. Shas, Rebbe gave precedence to Adasa Rabbim, Yochid Rabbim, generally Halachak Rabbim. Mashamech Mehem Lebnoi. It's an incredible Gemara. The Gemara says about Rekavya ben Mahalo. The Gemara says that he had a machlekes with the Chacham. He did like he held, and the Rabbim like them. Before he died, he told his son to follow everybody else. Listen to the language he said. Mashamech Mehem Lebnoi. A Tana said to his son, Shtivo Beis Maise Bini, Chazor Bach me arbod devarim shisiyay malach. From now on, I'm gone. There are four things I used to tell you to do. Change. Amalai. Atom loy chazar to Bach. My father, why did you follow your way? Amalai. Ani shamati mipi rabim. Veim shamu mipi rabim. I hold, this is the sheet of many. And those who argue with me hold the sheet of many. So I follow my way, they follow their way. And I matiti bishmuasi him amdu bishmuasam. So I followed mine, they followed this. But Atta, my son, Shemata mipi yachid, you only heard from me, and they're a rabbim. Mutav shetaniach, divrei yachid, v'lacha is divrei a rabbim. Why don't you go with the rule? You follow the rabbim. So it shows the honesty of the Tanoim. Elameyame harbe ketipa minayam and arayis al-maila shmuas ha-mishnah. These are some drop in the bucket of the milas of the mishnayis, al-mashmuas ha-gamorav and makablam ha-isa. If I wanted to tell you all about Gemara, Yerichu Advarim Harbe, it would need a long arichus, and Darkeim, and Devarim, and Shleim. Miesh Masha, Einoi, Hayoi Meshubach, Kvarhoya, Bedaris, Ahim, Nogu Meshubach. And there's things that today are not appreciated, they were appreciated then. So basically, he's tracing the Kabbalah, trying to show to the king that whatever we have is Bederach Kabbalah. He's done with this. In Samaches, which we'll learn next time, the king has the most challenging presentation yet against the Shas. Again, the king of the Khuzars is questioning. As a matter of fact, the Rambam in Maariv Nevuchim deals with exactly this. He says the following: Omer HaKhuzari, the king is saying, Kein ani roya b'chalkei devreihem, mashasoyser. The argumaris that seem to contradict your rule. Your rule is that everything is a Messiah, it follows from before. There are places Chazal dashim psukim that are way off from the way we would understand hakasha is means comparison in this book. Right? So we're going to do this next time. The Rambam gives always as an example to this taina, which pasuk? He always brings, says when they went to battle, they had to have a shovel, so that if they had to relieve themselves, they could cover it. The Gemara dashes veiz and tielacha lezinecha that the finger you should put into your ears if someone's saying lashon hara. So the Rambam says that's pshat in the pasuk. The pasuk is not talking about it. Okay, so that's what we're going to do next time.